everyone, and welcome to a special edition of MI Talk, brought to you by Mortgage Introducer. I'm your host, Simon Meadows. Now, today, we're joined by Jen Lloyd, who is Head of Mortgage Products at Skipton Building Society. Hello, Jen.
Hi, Simon.
Great to have you along. And we're also joined by James Kins, new Build Director at The Mortgage Store. Hello, James.
Yeah, morning, Simon. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, welcome both. It's great to have you along with us. Should we start by finding out a little bit about the businesses you represent? Jen, if you could tell us about Skipton first.
Absolutely. So Skipton Building Society is a mutual building society, which means that we were set up to help people to have a home. And we do that still today, over 170 years later. And we do the mutuality aspect of it is that we don't have shareholders to account to. Our kind of members are our shareholders, if you like. So everything that we do, we are driven by our founding purpose, which is about helping people into homes. And then how do we reward our members? How do we make membership matter? So they're kind of the core parts of the business.
Excellent. Thank you for that, Jen. And James, tell us about the Mortgage Store, please.
Yeah, no problem. So, so the Mortgage Store, we've been running approximately sort of 20 years, just over 20 years now, predominantly based down in the southeast from two locations, which is St Albans and Milton Keynes. But we're national in terms of our business set. So we've got coverage all across the UK, which is great. But yeah, so we're not quite at the 170 years yet, as Skipton are, but nonetheless, we have done our best. But yeah, 20 years. And yeah, as I said, we focus very much on assisting all types of clients, obviously doing an awful lot of purchase, sort of remortgage, retention business. All in all, like I said, business is good, a bit challenging at the moment, which obviously we'll talk about as part of this call. But like I said, delighted to be here and hopefully it's useful to the listeners.
Great stuff. Thanks for that, James. Now, what is your view, both of you, on the first-time buyer market currently and its challenges? Jen, if you'd like to take that one first, please.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the industry as a whole is quite agreed that it is a challenging time. James, you just alluded to it then. Times are tough for all borrowers and brokers in the industry. I think, you know, there's a number of pressures. And for first-time buyers specifically, I think some of the key challenges come down to lack of supply. So demand outstrips supply, which is a real structural issue in the market. So there aren't enough houses. That then drives up the cost of them, which means that you've got more people competing for the same properties. And then you add into the mix the fact that mortgage rates are elevated, a lot significantly from where they have been historically. We've got used to very low interest rates. We've got used to a base rate at 0.1, which was meaning that pay rates, even for high LTV, were pretty manageable. I don't think the same can be said necessarily today. And then you throw into the mix broader affordability challenges. So the fact that on top of your elevated pay rate, you've got to raise a deposit, which means that you're going to find that challenging because you are dealing with elevated cost of living. It's difficult for people to afford to run their household as it is. So putting money aside for a deposit can feel like an insurmountable mountain to climb. And then once you've got your deposit and you found the property that you want, being able to actually pass the affordability testing that lenders have to put people through. So making sure that buyers can deal with an elevated, stressed scenario should rates continue to rise means that it is a challenging picture of their first-time buyers. I don't want to be all doom and gloom, so I will say that, you know, the good thing is that the aspiration is still there. Getting that first step onto the ladder is still very much something that a lot of people want to do and are really focused on. So we're here to support them to do that, but in a more challenging environment, I'd say. I don't know what you think, James.
Yeah, I'd agree, certainly. And I think, as you said there, Jen, really the issue is being from the historic long-term low interest rates that we've had in this marketplace for some time. So there's definitely some adjustments we had. But yeah, it isn't all doom and gloom. I think that's the one thing that we've noticed is that some of the information that filters out through the media channels, they're not always accurate. They're obviously quite, it's a scaremongering sort of almost sort of scenario that we sort of have in terms of conversation with the clients. So it's actually about putting some reality into place for a lot of them, actually making them realise that things aren't maybe as bad as they first feared. So often the media reporting significant price crashes and all the rest of it. But in fact, as you look at the real stats that are coming through the marketplace, yes, there has been some adjustment in the marketplace. There's no doubt about it. But yeah, property prices are still high, and they're still, sort of, I think on record recently, it's reported that they're still £40,000 higher than sort of pre-pandemic levels. So although they've softened slightly, there is still that challenge. And as you say, actually getting people onto the property ladder, it's difficult enough for people to save and create the deposit that they need to be able to buy a house. So we're seeing definitely an increase in terms of the number of inquiries we're getting, where the bank of mum and dad or the bank of family, which they're now describing it as, is becoming more and more important. So obviously we'll probably touch on a couple of those points sort of more throughout this conversation, I suppose.
Excellent. Well, would you say, James, that all of the hurdles there that Jen identified, you know, facing first-time buyers, you recognise the same hurdles? Are there any others that you'd want to add at this point?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think that the help from Bank of Mum and Dad, I think it's challenging for not just the first-time buyers. I think every customer we're seeing at the moment, whether they're first-time buyers, whether they're home movers looking for that next property, or whether they're even retention, you know, remortgage-type clients, sacred retention, but... remortgage clients that come to the end of their fixed rate. So there's challenges across the whole marketplace. Obviously, you chuck into the mix there, help to buy customers that have had help to buy loans historically, that had a 5-year interest free period, and they're coming to the end of that where they've actually got to start paying the interest on the help to buy loan. So there is a number of different challenges that are across the spectrum from, you know, all sort of type of customers that we're dealing with day to day. And obviously it's a challenge, but I think there definitely needs to be more innovation across the marketplace from lenders, builders, etc., which is sort of conversation I'm having daily with our builders that we work with closely. It's definitely a challenge, but it's good to see that there are criteria changes happening with different lenders. There's obviously schemes that Skipton have recently launched themselves, but there's also other schemes that other builders or lenders are also looking at to try and support the challenges that we've all got ahead, because this is not just a current issue. I think this will be sort of, you know, ongoing now for the next few years.
And clearly affordability is a key issue from what you're both saying there. That's how you see it, Jen?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the key hurdles for sure.
So given all of those circumstances that we've heard about there and those hurdles, what are the options available to first-time buyers for getting onto the housing ladder, would you say, Jen, if you could start on that one?
Yeah, sure. I think certainly from a Skipton perspective, we have been working really hard to make sure that our proposition for first-time buyers caters for all different types of people in different sorts of scenarios. So we know that lots of first-time buyers do rely on the Bank of Mum and Dad, or like you said, James, you know, family and friends in terms of supporting, particularly in terms of raising a deposit. And we've been long proponents of things like joint borrower sole proprietor. So probably well understood in the intermediary world. I think there's a job to do to make it more accessible and understood for first-time buyers themselves. So JBSP, in a nutshell, is about allowing other supporters, if you like, to be named a mortgage from an affordability point of view, but they don't have any legal ownership of the property. So it means that the first-time buyer or buyers are able to be the legal owners, the legal kind of proprietors, and then the supporters are there just to help with affordability. So that's something that helps in terms of stretching the affordability. We've obviously long supported lending at high LTV, so we were one of the first back into 95% lending after the pandemic, and we also look to support high LTV lending on new build properties as well. Plus we have all of the products available for government schemes, so things like shared ownership, first homes, that's something that we also support. And I think that we are going to see growth in those types of schemes. Shared ownership is a way for people to take that first step onto the ladder without having to do it all on their own from day one. And then I suppose the biggest innovation that we've had in the last few months is our track record. And that is a product that is out there to enable people to access the ladder without needing a deposit, because whilst there is a lot of support there from the Bank of Mum and Dad, and they're one of the top 10 lenders in the UK if you tossed it all up, there are people out there who don't have that support. And so we saw it as an important step to offer a product that was there for people that couldn't raise a deposit but had a record of paying their rent in full on time for at least 12 months. So that launched in May, and that's been a real success for us so far. And we're thinking, how do we challenge ourselves to keep building on that.
And as you say, that's had a fantastic reaction, hasn't it? I mean, it's even had international recognition in the media internationally. So how do you evolve that as a, having got off to such a great start with Track Record, where do you see that going? How do you evolve it for others to coming forward for first-time buyers of the future?
I think there's a few things we're looking at and challenging ourselves, you know, what can we do to further enhance it as a proposition? I guess one of the things that we've already changed, we had feedback from the brokers that we work with and from customers themselves, which was around, you've restricted this product to first-time buyers only. What about people that have owned property historically, but for whatever reason, divorce, changing circumstances, have fallen off the ladder, if you like, and haven't been in a mortgage property for a number of years? So earlier this month, actually, we kind of extended the availability of the product to include not only first-time buyers, but also those people that have not owned a property in the last 3 years. And that's been really well received as well. And I guess the next step is, what more can we do to evolve it to make it so that it can support more people? Because I do get that there are challenges with the product design, which I'm sure James will speak to.
Yes, coming on this one, James, what would you, or how plentiful would you say or not are the options for first-time buyers, and what's your perspective from the mortgage store?
Yeah, I think, as Jen just touched on there, really, the Track Record mortgage that Skipton have launched, I think, A, it was very much needed in the marketplace. I still think there's more support that's needed from other lenders to go into that space. So, but, you know, hats off to Skipton for being the first out in the marketplace for that type of scheme. But I agree. I think from our perspective, it's very difficult in terms of most of the cases we deal with from a geographical perspective is really difficult just because of the criteria that's in place. And that's just being transparent in terms of sort of the challenges we face with that particular product. The scenario, obviously, the mortgage payments, the new mortgage payment on the property they're buying can't exceed what they're currently paying in rent. So like I said, there's just challenges that we face with that, given obviously the general challenge, which is obviously the higher interest rate market that we're currently in at this moment in time. So that's the challenge we have at the moment, but I think it's great that the product is there and is available. There are other schemes available that Jen touched on there. So we're definitely seeing an increase in inquiries for joint borrower sole proprietor. Things like shared ownership being another big part of our marketplace at the mortgage store. And we're doing more and more schemes like that, obviously, to support. I know certain developers are now starting to look at rent-to-buy options for their customers. Deposit unlock, obviously, being one that's sort of specific in the new build market.
Given how challenging things are for first-time buyers, how creative do you think the market has to be in coming up with solutions such as Track Record? You know, how important is it to think outside the box? What would you say, Jen?
I would say that it is absolutely critical that lenders think differently. I think we have all benefited from a very low interest rate environment, and all forecasts indicate that that is not set to come back anytime soon. And so, you know, we can't rely on access to very, very cheap funding. And there's also, like I said earlier, that structural issue that the supply of housing is in short, it's in short supply. That is a real problem. I don't know that as lenders on our own, we can make a difference, but that's where I'd be keen to see us collaborating, informing government policy and making sure that, you know, people that are setting the agenda in terms of setting policy around housing understand the challenges that are there in the housing market, and then come into product and propositional work. You know, absolutely, we don't intend to be resting on our laurels after Track Record. We are already testing ourselves to think, you know, what else can we do to further broaden out the range? And I think that, again, we would welcome that from other lenders across the industry, because I think that it's essential for supporting first-time buyers and anybody that's kind of wanting to get into home ownership or stay in home ownership. We need to be thinking differently and bringing new solutions.
James, would you agree that innovation is key in this part of the market?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, as Jen just touched on there, really, I think more lenders need to collaborate together. More needs to be done. I think there's a big gap in the marketplace in Help to Buy, obviously, finished. And, you know, that was obviously a big affordability product or solution that was obviously there in the marketplace that's no longer. So that's it for me. There definitely has to be more innovation. It's not just down to the lenders, I think, but also sort of some of the key builder partners that we have working with lenders to try and create those solutions, which is, like I said, a big challenge in itself. But I think collaboration is the crucial part to sort of put these products and solutions in place.
Let's think now about the relationship with brokers. How key would you say that relationship is, Jen, that Skipton has with its broker community?
Oh, absolutely crucial. So we are very much an intermediary-led lender. I think historically we've been around 90% of our new lending comes via brokers. This year so far it's nearer to 95%. So it's fair to say that we are absolutely working really close with the intermediary community, and we rely on them to talk to their clients about what it is that Skipton can help with. Absolutely crucial. And I think that it's been a difficult time for the industry since probably, the disastrous mini budget. That really was a turning point. And, we've seen continued base rate rises, which is adding complexity. We know that lenders are changing their ranges daily. Brokers are dealing with last minute withdrawals. All credit to them, I would say, and a huge thank you from everybody at Skipton in terms of everything that they're doing to make sure the word gets out there about our proposition, including for first-time buyers.
James, how much emphasis would you put on the relationship between lenders and brokers, in this area, in the first-time buyer market, but generally within the mortgage market? How important do you think that relationship is?
Critical. It's probably the word I'd use. Absolutely. So, yeah, and I think the good thing about Skipton is our relationship has been great with Skipton over a number of years. I think the fact they listen to brokers giving feedback about how they can improve product criteria. I think there's been a gap in the market with a few different lenders of actually offering a 3-year fixed rate mortgage, which, like I said, I think that's one of the changes that's recently happened at Skipton. Jen, obviously, recently was offering that product solution, which I think is needed at this current moment in time. So, yeah. I think without doubt, the feedback that we can keep providing Skipton to enhance product availability. But I think as Jen touched on there, really, the challenge we've had over not just the last couple of months, but obviously as interest rates have increased, and they've increased at short notice. So rates have been withdrawn sometimes with no notice at all. I think the relationship that we've got with Skipton and along with other brokers is crucial to that, by giving notice of rate withdrawal so that we can make sure that we secure those rates to clients before they increase. So that's definitely been in the marketplace for the last sort of 12, 18 months. And that's, like, been a big challenge. And it also creates a lot of anxiety for us as brokers trying to secure these rates for our customers, but also the customers feel that anxiety as well, because it's certainly difficult. And I think the relationship as well of taking the case from application through to mortgage offer as well, that uncertainty from a client's perspective about, can they get that mortgage, although they've applied for it, we've secured the rate, can they actually get that mortgage offer in place to buy their dream home? So, like I said, from a number of different points in terms of the relationship with not only Skipton, but all the lenders, is absolutely critical in terms of what we do day to day.
Now, obviously, brokers are a core part of our audience and will be listening in to this podcast. So what would your message be to brokers about maximising opportunities in the first-time buyer market, and how can they help those customers? Jen, what would you say to that?
I think they're already doing a great job. I think that I would ask that they continue to engage with lenders. As James said, feedback on where are the gaps in policy? Where are the inconsistencies between lenders that you can't quite understand? Where are there opportunities for different product innovation? So see yourselves as, an engaged part of the development process in terms of propositional work. We certainly rely on feedback really heavily. So please make sure that if you think that there are things that we could be doing differently or more of, please tell us about that and we will take that on board. And I think beyond that, it's just make sure that you're using all of the tools out there at your disposal to fully scan the market, not only based on kind of true cost and rate, but also based on policy and criteria. There's lots of different developments and tools available that help brokers to identify lenders that will be able to help their clients beyond just getting them the cheapest deal. It's much more nuanced now. It's much more about policy and criteria. So utilise those tools that are there would be my other kind of plea, I would say.
James, the floor is yours. What would your message be to brokers out there?
Yeah, I think the education for me is crucial. I think Jen touched on there's so many solutions and options out there to make sure that the customer's well educated. So we spend a lot of our time as a business you know, you're trying to get them educational pieces out there. How can we help hold the hand of those consumers and customers that are out there? As a first-time buyer, it's the first time they've ever gone through this experience. So, for me, it's about education. How can you make sure that your customer is mortgage ready? Choices and criteria, affordability, credit scoring, all these things that we talk about as being big challenges in the marketplace at the moment. For us, really, we're seeing more and more customers now that we're speaking to now that maybe aren't in a position to buy. So it's staying in touch with those customers, making sure you're holding their hand throughout that process. Because like I said, a lot of these first-time buyers can't buy quite now, but it's a case of holding their hand to get them to that point in 6 months, 12 months down the line. So at the point when they are ready, that they've got every bit of information they need. So for me, that's probably the most crucial part, is that educational sort of journey and being there to hold their hand throughout the journey.
Thanks for that, James. Now, the most difficult question of all, perhaps, because I'm going to ask you both to look into the future. I'm not sure how good you are at predicting the future or if you have a special gift for this kind of thing. But what would you see as the future for first-time buyers? What do you think the future holds, James?
Yeah, I think, as we've talked about, really, I think there are rumours of Help to Buy potentially coming back. Whether that will or won't happen, obviously, is very difficult to say at this point. But I think innovation is the crucial part. There needs to be more options out there for customers with low deposits, affordability challenges, et cetera, et cetera. So the collaboration that is needed across the whole industry, as we touched on earlier, the builders and lenders in collaboration to try and assist some of these clients. More schemes are required. I think shared ownership schemes, more schemes that maybe builders will look to innovate themselves, that obviously they can then work in collaboration with different lenders to get these products out there into market. So yeah, I think it's challenging. I think, like, from a positive perspective, we are still assisting lots of first-time buyers out there in the market. So it's not to say that there's not an option now, because there most certainly is. But more things like joint borrower, sole proprietor, shared ownership, you know, deposit unlock, these type of schemes that are definitely needed in the marketplace at this moment in time, because, as I touched on earlier, the Help to Buy scheme finishing has definitely been, there's a big gap in the marketplace for something on those lines. So I know conversations I'm having with different builders at this moment in time is, can they look to offer their own shared equity products, which obviously will plug a little bit of a gap from Help to Buy, but nonetheless, more work is needed, certainly from that point of view.
What about you, Jenny? You good at seeing into the future? Anything you can tell us about?
Just call me Mystic Meg and I'll give you the point is, nobody knows, do they? But I think that what I would say is that I am optimistic, because, as I've talked about before, the desire within people to take the first step onto the housing ladder, I think, is stronger than ever. And so that's not going to go anywhere. And I do agree with James that innovation, thinking slightly differently about product and propositional solutions to help people get into home ownership, is definitely something that we are absolutely focused on. I think the bit to add we haven't really touched on today, but is around kind of greening the UK housing market as well. And I know very much for Skipton, that remains a key priority as well. I think that the future holds more of a focus on not only helping people into homes, but helping people into greener and sustainable homes. And there's a big piece of work to do there, to kind of think about how do we get from where we are today to making sure that we have a housing stock that is fit for the future. But that's maybe a topic for a future podcast. So I'll leave it there.
Thanks for that, Jen. That's really interesting. I was actually thinking about asking you to channel your inner Mystic Meg, and I thought, No, she's too young. She won't know who Mystic Meg is. So,
she's an icon. Great hair.
Absolutely. It's been fantastic talking with you both today. Thank you so much, Jen Lloyd from Skipton Building Society. Thank you.
Thanks, Simon. It's been great.
And James Kins from The Mortgage Store. James, thank you for your time.
No, lovely. And thanks for having me, everyone. And good catching up, Jen. Thanks very much for your time.
Oh, it's been great. That's it for this edition of MI Talk from Mortgage Introducer. Please join us again next time for more industry conversation. Until then, thanks for listening and goodbye.
Thank you for tuning into MI Talk. You can listen to the latest episodes on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and all major listening channels. Just search for MI Talk.